VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 541, recorded on June 19th, 2019.
The 541st edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 374th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Fowle.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
You know, normally this is where we talk about what we've been playing, and nope, we're not doing that this week. Partly because I have a crap ton of games that I've been able to play, and it would take me an hour to talk about all of them. Okay, just one of them I'll talk about. Tyranny. Combat is awful. The combat is just awful. I went to story mode because I just could not stand that. How could you stand that combat, Scott?
It's standard combat for that type of game.
No, it isn't. I've played Baldur's Gate. I played the other isometric.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just
It's pretty much the same as Pillars of Eternity, isn't it?
No, here's the thing. With those games, I get feedback. Tyranny gives me no feedback. And it is slow and sluggish, the combat. It is just, you know, there's a subtle difference between the combat in those games and this game. Not to saying that Pillars of Eternity's combat is great, you know, but I'm finding I'd rather have turn-based combat these days. If it's not going to be third person or first person, just make it turn-based like XCOM.
Yeah, I definitely prefer turn-based as well.
Anyways, so we're not talking about games that we've been playing. Oh, one other thing, I know I'm cheating, but I got Batman Arkham Asylum, you know, that dual pack which has Asylum and City, and I now have achievements for that game three times. One for the Xbox 360 version, one for the PC version when it was Games for Windows, and now for this. So I have 2,400 achievement points that are all from one game. Playing the same game over and over and over again.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that's dedication.
Well, no, it's cheating. I know the game backwards and forwards. You know, I rented the Xbox 360 version. I kept the Windows Live version, you know, and now I've rented the Xbox One X version. What's really odd is that the Xbox One version chugs. And the graphics aren't much better than the PC version I had like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, with all the graphics jacked up, and yet it chugs. It's just weird. It struggles with it. It has slowdown when there's too many enemies on the screen. I think it's just a bad port, but it's still. Anyways, We're going to talk about E3. Because E3 was actually interesting enough in certain respects to actually talk about it. There were actually some interesting games, at least interesting to me, unlike last few years in which it was just snore, snooze, and who cares. And TJ was with me for one of those. We went to the Bethesda thing. What did they talk about that year? Fallout 76 for the next year. They talked about Dishonored 2, I think.
They talked about, that was the last DLC of Dishonored 2, which was the basically you're going to go fight the.
Oh no, they talked about the Fallout 2, the Fallout 4 DLC as well. They showed off the one with the robots, I think.
They also first showed Doom Eternal, and they were doing Doom VR that year. Yes, because they showed off Doom Eternal, and then they were showing off Doom VR as well.
Okay, I don't remember Doom Eternal being there. It's odd. Yeah, anyways. Then the next year they showed off Fallout 76 and they decided to stop the hype machine. It was going off the rails. So, let's talk about the biggest stuff that was talked about there before we talk about the games. And let's talk about Project Scarlet. That's the new code word for Microsoft's next console, which is officially coming in 2020. And I have a problem with them calling it Project Scarlet.
Why is that?
because, you know, that leaves itself so wide open to people saying, well, frankly, my dear, because it's not Scarlet as in the color, it's Scarlet as in Rhett and Scarlet. As in from Gone with the Wind, Scarlet.
What is that? I don't see how they can draw that connection.
Scarlet.
No, I
it's
know
because
what
it's
you're
spelled with two T's.
I know what you're talking about, Jonah. Mm-hmm. I just don't see what that Gone with the Wind has to do with Xbox, this
Nothing,
Xbox.
Except that people can easily say, well, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Well, I was thinking Scarlet Fever, but...
No.
Yeah.
What?
Couldn't it also be a...
That is a leap there, Scott.
So is Gone with the Wind! That's
no,
a huge leap! That's my fucking
point!
The name
of Scarlet, it's one of the most famous literary characters in history.
And it has nothing to do
and
with
people,
Xbox
people can
at
make
all.
A joke, and frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Well, guess what? I don't give a damn either.
There you go. Anyways.
Couldn't it also be slower than the game room with the bad library?
Anyways, it has the same stuff that Sony said about the PlayStation 5 like a week before E3. It's going to have 8K capability and 120 gigahertz, it'll have a solid straight drive, and I know TJ's ecstatic about that for both consoles, that it's going to have a solid state hard drive, both of them.
Yes. Solid state makes such a huge difference, and like I didn't even realize it until my laptop broke down, I think,
and you got one
at the beginning of this year, and the hard drive was broke, and I switched from a regular hard drive disk drive to a solid state drive.
Solid state drives have plummeted in price immensely too.
Right, and like there's so much less opportunity for failure because there are no moving parts in a solid state drive. There's
well,
no
let's just say it right now. It's just fucking fast. It's fast as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't have that humming in my laptop if I have a solid-state drive in it.
It's very fast. There's much less opportunity for catastrophic failure. It's an altogether better thing.
That's true. It'll be quieter, faster. And, yeah, Microsoft put on a good show with this EA – or E3, sorry.
Well, before we get into Microsoft, some related news from, like, 2 days ago – Microsoft's announced that they released the last batch of backwards compatible games. And oh, by the way, Super Street Fighter Puzzle, Super Puzzle Fighter. How do they call it? Super Puzzle Fighter HD Turbo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's one of the games, and I've been playing the shit out of that since I owned it. But it isn't as dire as you think. Microsoft just said that they're getting ready to do the ports of all those games to the Scarlet. So that's why there's not going to be any releases anytime soon for backwards compatibility, which I'm 100% behind. You know, get it right for the next console, because both Microsoft and Sony said that we want to make everything that's available on the PS4 and the Xbox One to be playable on the next consoles.
So, yeah, and they announced a date for – or a tentative date for it. They're going to be going for holiday 2020,
yeah,
which is the same time that the new Halo is going to launch.
Gee, what
Halo
a coincidence.
So they're going to be going for like a traditional style like Halo released alongside the Xbox, which is great. Yeah.
And also they showed the teaser. No real gameplay. They just showed a cutscene. But it gave a lot of information without giving too much away. And, you know – it showed Master Chief's new quote, new slash old armor. He's basically wearing the old armor from Halo 1 now.
Right.
The thing that they didn't show in the trailer is that, like Halo 1, there's going to be some really wide open environments, which is going to be exciting. And for those who don't know, it's using the new Slipspace engine, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. It looks great. While it was a cutscene, it was still used with in-game assets. I mean, not that it's all that difficult. You know, these days. It was impressive, but not, oh my god, it's so impressive. It was just like, yeah, it looks cool. And there's no reason to believe that's not going to be in it.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about... Okay.
I, for one, was really happy to see Doom Guy finally make an appearance in Halo.
Oh, that poor Pelican pilot. That poor Pelican pilot. By the way, that's one of the things that they were really showing off without really saying it, and that is the stubble in the guy's beard. it's really that's ray tracing right there. They were ray tracing his beard, and that beard was not possible with previous incarnations of the Xbox. You'd have a shadow, you know, but not individual beards, you know, hairs, you know. So you have that. Do you want to talk about Keanu Reeves?
Oh my God, I was in a room with Keanu Reeves. I have pictures.
Awesome. It was,
yes, Cyberpunk 2077 got itself a new trailer, and at the very end of the trailer, we got our first look at a new character who will be played by Mr. Keanu Reeves of John Wick.
I want to say new character in quotes, because that character, Johnny, is part of the Cyberpunk lore. He's one of the more he's like Smiling Jack in Vampire the Masquerade. He's a known character, so they have Keanu Reeves playing him. So, yeah.
So he's not just like a one-time little short cameo. He'll be a...
he's a main character in it, yeah.
Well, that is awesome. I wasn't sure about that.
Well, he's not a main character, but he's like Smiling Jack in Vampire the Masquerade. He's basically going to be your tutor, you know, the person that you're going to go to for advice and stuff like that. It was really a depressing trailer, too, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah.
I wasn't depressed.
Because here's the thing. You know, he's bringing back the chip, but his partner, who he's really close with, dies in the thing. And when he comes in, he's just depressed. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if he lives or dies until he remembers his dead friend. Then he just goes mental on everybody. He just goes
berserk. I guess I wasn't emotionally invested in any of the characters because I didn't know what was going on about any of it.
Well, a guy's friend dies, and they're going to double-cross him, and he says, fuck that shit.
Yeah, like I would somewhat agree with Scott to the point where it was dour, but at the same time, like, we didn't have enough time to get to know these people.
Yeah.
That said,
Black guy who we've seen him several times in other videos. He's one of the quest givers, and he's the first quest giver you have. So at that point, I'm pretty sure
it's the bad guy.
I mean, like, my point is, Jonah, is that you sometimes don't like a main character. I have no idea if I like this main character, so I don't know if I really feel sorry that his friend is dead.
V. His name is V, and he could be male or female.
More importantly, that guy spawned Baraka blades out of his arm, and I popped.
That's also part of the Cyberpunk universe, too. And one of the most important part of Cyberpunk is that this is probably going to remind you of Prey 2017 or Prey 2016, whenever it came out, is that if you have too many augments, you go psycho.
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit like Shadowrun as well. If you have too many modifications, you lose your soul and your karma. And
I hate to tell you this, but Cyberpunk ripped off these. I mean, Shadowrun ripped off the Cyberpunk, what's it called? Pen and paper game. I think the Cyberpunk, it's by Mike Pondsmith for El Talsorian.
I think it's more of an intuitive thing, because that's also in Star Wars where they make the comment, he's more machine than man now, meaning he's cold and doesn't have a soul.
That was just a throwaway line by George Lucas. I'm talking about going out and out psychopathic. They're called psychos in the Cyberpunk universe.
They're both good in their own way. I like Shadowrun for a lot of reasons, but I also like Cyberpunk for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Thank you, CJ.
It was Cyberpunk, then it was Cyberpunk 2027, and then it was Cyberpunk 2057, and now it's Cyberpunk, because, you know, the further you move on in the future, the more they have to set the period back. So now, since it's being released in 2020, you have to make it Cyberpunk 2077, so that it's more futuristic, you know. And also, back in 1982, who knew there was going to be, they did predict some stuff, but a lot of stuff went faster than even Cyberpunk knew. You know, I mean, we don't have augments like in Deus Ex, but it's getting there. Here's a question for you: are either of you excited for the Final Fantasy VII remake?
Halfway. I'm curious, but I'm not getting my hopes up, because that is such a That's such a massive game, and I feel like everybody is setting themselves up for disappointment if they expect more than what we're being shown at any given time.
How about you, Scott?
Cyberpunk looks good, and
I'm asking about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, that! Sorry, I didn't know we jumped to it there. Yeah, I heard we're just in Midgar. I'm not sure, and it's like going to be two discs worth. Wow. So we're gonna explore the whole entire. I mean, that is exciting, and I did like the combat. It did look different and interesting to me. I'm sort of on the fence about the whole remake and stretching it this far, and but I mean, it might really feel epic once you get out of Midgar, you know, and it's not just like this tutorial town. It's this, you know, you're really learning about it. You're having the time to really, you know, see the people being crushed under Shinra, and you know, there's a lot here. So I think maybe we should give it a chance, you know, see if it's good, you know, maybe it'll go somewhere. Maybe it won't be like Xenosaga that tried to stretch 6 games and then cut it down to 3, and it was butchered.
So I've only played Final Fantasy 13.
That's a shame.
Here's the thing. I know everything about Final Fantasy VII, even the quote unquote plot twist in which you know who dies. I mean, and so, well, here's the thing. You can't escape it. So many people are so emotional about her dying, and it's like,
yeah.
I ask Paul. He'll tear up if you mention it.
I'll tell you a few rumors I've heard going around. First of all, this is a little bit more concrete. The director says that this part of the game, like in which they are stuck in Midgar, it's going to be the full length of a game like right. Final Fantasy 15. So it's not going to be like skimping on anything.
No,
which is good. I'm happy to hear that it'll be like, well, it won't be just like,
it's like,
I get too
adding extra content, you know, to a game that everybody's played about a billion times.
Well, that, and like, it's nice to know that I won't get to a certain spot and then it'll be like a red tape banner and says buy part 2.
Yeah.
What?
Like a
was
paywall.
That a thing in the original Final Fantasy VII?
No. You're talking about paywalls.
I'm happy to see that it'll be like, it'll feel like a full length game that just happens to have a sequel to it.
Why even have 2 discs? I'm going to answer myself because not everybody has an internet connection, I guess. But, you know, normally you could just download it. What was that? It was 100 gigabyte. Download for something, and I forgot what it was. I was like, really, that much for that game?
There was a recent models
and voice acting takes up a lot of room.
No, it doesn't. MP3 files don't
yes,
take up
it
that
does.
Much room. Come on.
There was a game which
I was writing about in which they what's it called? That oh right, Shenmue 3. That's gonna have 100 gigabytes of.
Yeah, and I've seen the detail on that. It's not a surprise. No.
Red Dead Redemption 2 also took up kind of an absurd amount of space.
I guess, but not. It doesn't look like a 100 gigabyte game. I've seen incredible games that look better and has more better action than Shenmue 3 that has like less than that.
This was the first time we saw Tifa in action, which is one of my favorite characters. And that was really cool. And there has been fan art aplenty because the internet is plenty.
Yes.
That said, she looks awesome. I love her. She punches a lot and kicks a lot. And they all look awesome,
I think.
Yeah.
The realism is nice to see. The details. Like, apparently Tifa has little bracelets that have a little trinket on it, and there's a little Chocobo on one and a little bomb on the other, and people are theorizing it's like to do with her hometown Nibelheim. Just sounds cool, for, you know, all the details that are on these characters.
Yeah, and I'm sure they animated every last feather on a Chocobo.
This is also the first time we saw Aeris in combat, which was like we got to see a healer role in Final Fantasy VII's Remake's combat system. I was curious about how that would go because, like in the previous, in Final Fantasy 15, you don't really have anyone that's like a dedicated healer. Everybody is sort of takes on an action role, whereas Iris was always like a healer, and that's about it. So
yeah, and I think it'll be kind of like in Ni no Kuni or some other games that are like that. I think Tales is like this, where you can assign a character to have a certain AI type. Where like they're a healer or defender or just do all damage. So you might say, Aeris, if somebody's damaged, heal me, you know, just heal me. like spam mm-hmm. heal or whatever, something like that.
Well, by the way, speaking of which, you know that a lot of people were talking about the fact that Microsoft showed off a new Tails game. It's not exclusive, obviously. It's multi-platform, but still, I mean, you know, there was only one other Tails game that Tales of Vesperia that was ever on a Microsoft console.
Yeah, I think it's Tales of Arise or something. This looked good too.
It did show off an RPG that was exclusive though, Phantasy Star 2, which has been around since 2003.
Phantasy Star Online 2, yeah. And Jordan will go nuts over that. But he's salty because 5 years later.
Yeah.
Which is true. Phantasy Star Online 2 has been out in Japan for a while now, and it's sort of like he's salty. Yeah, finally they're bringing it out.
And a lot of people have been debating, like, are they really going to make people start at like level one, or is there going to be like a way to like skip past? Because so many story things have happened in Phantasy Star Online 2.
I'm going to tell you something. I am glad that World of Warcraft Classic is coming out, because god damn it, I loved leveling my character from 1 to 60. You know? I like having that experience. I'm not the sort of person who will go to World of Warcraft, spend $20 just to up my character to level 120 just so I could start raiding and doing all that crap. No. World of Warcraft is always a theme park MMO to me. You know, visit these sites, see the things. You know, just the journey was far better than the destination for me with World of Warcraft. So if they have to force you to play at level one on Phantasy Star Online 2, fine. I don't care. And of course, it's free to play, just so you know, you guys know. Being an Eastern MMO, they're going to suck the money out of your wallet anyway, but at least you'll be able to test it out.
It makes me wonder, like, speaking of World of Warcraft, like, what would it be like if you had never played World of Warcraft before, and then suddenly they were launching World of Warcraft Azeroth or whatever the latest expansion is in the United States? That's like, there's so much that has happened. Yeah. There's so much that has happened, and like, how do you translate that?
Well, you can still play the low levels. I mean, but when I went to play the low levels, it was a ghost town in Goldshire. It was a friggin' ghost town. I saw maybe one person walk by.
Yeah, and that's what makes it weird to me. I feel like Phantasy Star Online is going to be similar-ish. It's just weird to think about.
Well, I mean, you can have an influx of new players, though. See, that's the thing. I mean, everybody in the United States hasn't played it, so you're going to have a lot of people playing. We're either going to allow you to skip levels just to get to the endgame content to join the other players. Who knows? But for me, you know, when I play an MMO, I'm there for the experience, which is why I don't play a lot of PvP MMOs. I mean, rarely. I mean, I guess technically Warhammer Online was a PvP MMO, but it never felt like one. And so was, oh, by the way, so was Dark Age of Camelot. I mean, but you had safe areas in which you knew that other Midgards and Albions weren't going to invade Hibernia, because they get cut down really quick, you know? Anyways, let's talk about the other thing that's gotten Scott, and I'm pretty sure Paul, really, really excited, and that's the announcement of a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yes, that's very exciting. It looks like Ganon will be back in some shape or form. And yeah, and Zelda has shorter hair, so it looks like she might be playable, or at least people are theorizing.
Yeah, they did announce something that was going to allow you to play as Link or Zelda, but it wasn't Breath of the Wild 2, it was something else.
Oh, Cadence of Hyrule.
Right. That and oh, by the way, for those who don't know, Cadence of Hyrule is Crypt of the Necrodancer, just with Zelda, Zelda skin.
That game I've been playing, and it's not just a Zelda skin. It's a fully realized
Zelda
game.
It's just a
Zelda
skin, but it's made by the same people who did Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Right.
And by the way, from what I understand, Crypt of the Necrodancer might have been hard. Cadence of Hyrule is even harder, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to change the combat, too, to make it more Zelda-ish. But it's supposed to be really hard, so don't go into Cadence of Hyrule thinking it's going to be a breeze. Nope, it's going to be your Dark Souls.
It's
Zelda style.
I wasn't going to do Dark Souls, but it's definitely very challenging. If you do the beat, you have to move in the beat.
You have to play the beat, too.
Yeah, all your moves have to go and be with the music, and you're doing your fighting and moves. If you turn off the beat, it's kind of like...
You get stunned. You'll get turns.
You'll have to take turns. And especially if you do co-op, you'll have to coordinate with the other player when you're taking your moves. Otherwise, you might get hit more than you realized you were going to be. But yeah, it's a very challenging game. If you die, you lose your durable items and your rupees, and then you'll get sent to a place where you can, if you have diamonds, you can buy power-ups into your next world. But your permanent items, your important items, will stay with you through each death. And I think it's a pre-generated world, the overworld. I think it's different for each person or each new game. So, you can't even rely on where the stuff is. You have to figure it out each time. So it's a very challenging game. It's very fun. The music is great. It'll remind you, like, you'll feel like you're playing an SNES game.
You know, the dungeon theme, yeah. The Overland theme, you know.
Mm-hmm.
DJ, did you play Krypton and Necrodancer?
I have not.
Oh, okay, just wondering.
So it really feels like I'm playing a Zelda game, you know, while waiting for Link's Awakening and Breath of the Wild 2. I feel like this is, I got a whole schedule
for
Zelda. Well,
it's a whole new game, really. I mean, yeah, it's a Zelda game. It's a Zelda spinoff, which I guess is better than something like Link's Crossbow.
Way better.
But it's also a game in its own right that's totally apart from Zelda in terms of gameplay. You know,
it's an entirely
new game, but it's in the Zelda, Zelda franchise. I'm not going to say universe, I'm going to say franchise.
Yeah.
So
I guess it probably won't be canonical. Yeah, it probably won't be within the lore, but it's still, I feel it's still a Zelda game. And I never really felt like the Zelda games had to be tied together in some...
Well, they never have been. Lore,
but I guess now they are.
The tying into these games are loose at best.
Yeah. It wasn't necessary to me. I felt like the stories were supposed to be like, you might say, you know, they weren't supposed to be tied together. They were supposed to be just isolated stories, and it's almost like somebody's just making up a story about a hero and a princess and a evil overlord thing and their adventures that they do, and they don't necessarily tie it together, but there's just some sort of story that the person wants to tell you using these characters, and it didn't really have to go together, but, you know, they made that attempt anyways. So,
by the way, speaking of Shenmue 3, did anybody laugh when Sega had to backtrack and say, no, there was an Xbox One logo on one of the trailers. No, it's not going to be the Xbox One. We're not planning it. And I'm thinking, bullshit. In 1 year, you're going to release it. Because why else would you release Shenmue 1 and 2 on the Xbox? And for that matter, you can tell it's a timed exclusivity. But the thing about that is, I don't think anybody's going to care.
Yeah. All I care about is Buff Ganon.
So, one of the games that got pilloried after it was shown was Marvel's Avengers. No one seemed to like it. Because none of the characters looked like... obviously, there's licensing problems, so you can't have them look like... But it just looked really uninspired to a lot of
people. There was two... which Avengers? Because I know
Marvel's
there was two
Avengers,
of them.
Marvel's Avengers. The game
that was
that's
the
being
one I
released
liked.
By Square.
Yeah, that's the one I liked. Yeah, that looked good.
Did it? A lot of people hated it.
I don't care what a lot of people think. I really don't.
A lot of people hated it. I'm just saying.
Good. Great.
I'll tell you who didn't hate it was Nintendo. They were really thrilled that the game got announced because it really brought people over to Ultimate Alliance 3 at E3.
Oh, God, yeah. People were
that's the one I think
too.
I heard people egging, not liking.
People
you heard
the Ultimate Alliance thing, too. Just strange.
Yeah, that's strange. Y'all are crazy. People loved it at E3.
Okay. I'm glad people demoing it loved it. We'll see. let me ask you a question then. What do you think of the final, Star Wars, Lego Star Wars game? Which is going to have the Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and Rise of the Skywalker. What is the name of the third one now? Rise of the Skywalker?
I forget.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker, I think. Yeah,
so it's going to have that. You know, it's interesting. You know, Traveler's Tale also got to see what the plot of for other movies like a year before they were released. So you got to imagine what it's like for the people who are developing a Traveler's Tales. They know everything about Episode 9, everything. But they have to – they have the NDA and they can't say a peep about it. They must have iron wills because people will be discussing – oh, you know, this new Star Wars movie coming out. I don't know, and they have to say, I can't say anything about it. I can't say anything about the big reveals that are going to be in it. Can you imagine if you work on something that's in Episode 9 and not be able to say anything about it for a year or more?
I guess that's what NDAs are for. You know, keep them from spoiling stuff.
And they must sequester them in Alaska or something.
I don't know.
I had a chance to see the new game though, the Lego Star Wars game.
Yeah.
It was cool. Like it was something like obviously not quite my jam, but like if I was a little kid, I would be super thrilled about that game because it was very very. It looked very fun. It looked like something I would play with my friends.
At least you know, at least they went back to the. It looks like they went back to the miming instead of actually talking, because it was always a lot funnier when they couldn't do dialogue, so they had to do everything visually. Speaking of Star Wars, one of the games that got a lot of positive response was the new Respawn Star Wars game, Jedi Fallen Order.
That looked good.
And here's the thing. It looked to me like a cross between Titanfall and, say, Super Metroid. But actually, Respawn said, and I found it very interesting, they said it was going to be very Dark Souls-ish in terms of combat. So what do you think about that, TJ?
I hope that they let me teach my little robot friend to kill.
Well, we
imagine look Dark Souls.
By the way, the little robot is named BD-1, which is short for Buddy Droid 1.
Yeah, let me teach Buddy Droid to kill.
Oh, I don't think that's his purpose.
Who knows? I mean, look, he looks like a face hugger. Maybe he'll jump on a stormtrooper's head and just burrow into his brain and just boil it from the inside.
Oh.
I doubt it.
They have already established that Buddy Droid 1 can talk to the main protagonist, which means that he can learn, which means that he can learn to kill.
So, the other thing I was surprised to see is that Forrest Whitaker's character from was it Solo? No, it wasn't Solo. I mean, from Rogue One is in it. Saul Guerrera, much younger. So that sort of places it in the timeline. It's supposed to be after Order 66, which Palpatine orders, you know, the murder of all the Jedi, and he's a survivor of one of them. And it takes place before Rogue One. So we have a little time window there when Saul Guerrera is young and salty, and he's not going to tell people. You know he's going to live. That's the one problem I have. Yeah, you got Forrest Whitaker and you got the character, but there's not going to be any surprise with the character because we know he's going to live and we know he's not going to betray anybody.
Yeah, I think for what it's worth, like it strikes me as like a very, very much like a Jedi Knight game. Like for what I saw out of the combat
with
and everything. Yeah, but like – you could do crazy jumping and all that stuff in Jedi Knight as well, where you couldn't do wall running, but like things have evolved. So of course now you can do wall running.
You know, here's the thing. People were really happy that Respawn said it was going to be a single player game only. But after watching the demo, I would say, fuck, I would love to see that in multiplayer. I would love to see this game multiplayer for some reason. This game would kick asses. It would shove Battlefront 2 to the ground and snag on it and take its lunch money.
I think
it's Star Wars. It could be Star Wars Titanfall. By the way, Apex Legends got some new shit. That's just news today. I know a lot of people are excited about it. It's gotten the season 2 stuff.
They announced a bunch of things during EA
Play. DJ, speak louder.
They announced a bunch of things during EA Play. They announced a new character. And the new character looks good. Basically, they addressed a couple niches that didn't exist in the game.
One of them was another defensive character, which defense is kind of lacking in Apex Legends. Mm-hmm. And just like the ability to put up an electric fence is kind of cool. And then they created an anti-air, like an anti-super ultimate, which basically, if you don't know, there are two characters in Apex Legends that call down basically bombs from the sky. And this character is going to be able to use their ultimate to neutralize those bombs, which is going to be such a big deal. Like, it's basically that's a meta changer. And I think that's really cool. I think it's interesting how they're like noticing what people do the most and looking for effective ways to, like, here's a character that can counter that.
Well, did you see the news today, though, about the dragons?
Yes, I did.
So,
which,
for those who don't know, the dragons are going to be flying low and they're going to be carrying loot boxes, and you have to shoot them down to get the loot boxes.
Mm-hmm. What game is that?
Apex Legends. Oh, it's Respawn's other game. It's basically their take on Overwatch with a little bit of Titanfall touched in there.
No, it's their take on Battle Royale.
Whatever. But here's the thing is that it basically derailed Titanfall because looks like Titanfall is not Titanfall 3 or whatever Titanfall derivative is coming out isn't going to be coming out anytime soon, which is a shame. But I mean, if they're making their money with Apex Legends and if they're able to make a Star Wars game, you know, it'll just make the hype for a new Titanfall that much bigger. Like, finally, yes, we're getting a new Titanfall.
They've already also kind of established that Apex Legends takes place in the Titanfall universe, so
yeah, I don't
there's
care
plenty
about
of opportunity
that.
To.
Yeah, people get excited about, oh, it's a shared universe. I don't.
May not care about it, but people like me that
can you ride around in giant robots? No, so I don't care.
Give it time. Give it time.
I am giving it time.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're giving it time. You got to give it time.
I am. I'm saying, you know, it'll just make the hype for Titanfall 3 whenever it's announced that much bigger.
And all I'm saying is that, like, those two things exist in the same universe, which means that they can use Apex Legends to build the hype and, like, do events that will lead to another Titanfall, which I'm super cool with.
So, do you want to talk about From Software's new game, Elden Ring?
There's not much to talk about it yet. Like it's interesting that you know what? I will say this. George R. R. Martin will be right at home in a game like Dark Souls where they languish in killing players and destroying characters and making everybody sick.
Hidetaka Miyazaki said, we're not going to make any more Dark Souls games, but what they didn't say was, well, we're not going to make any more games called Dark Souls.
Right. Did we see any gameplay of Elden Ring? I forget.
No, it was just a cinematic trailer.
Okay, then. Yeah, I don't.
But what we do know is it's Microsoft showed it off, so it probably means that they're going to have first dibs on exclusivity, or maybe even not even. I mean, Microsoft isn't really all that into exclusivity anymore.
Yeah, which is really a surprise. I mean, the not only Microsoft, but Nintendo as well, being very cooperative in sharing their IPs, or at least just, I don't know, not behaving like dog-eat-dog, you know, us versus them kind of mentality, and it's just been really refreshing to see.
By the way, let's talk about Link's Awakening for a second, because there's something that we forgot to talk about. I believe they said there was going to be a level editor in it.
Yeah.
Yes, you can you unlock the little dungeon rooms, and then you can go into a dungeon editor and put together the dungeons with these rooms, and then I think share them with your friends or something, or at least play them yourself. Yeah. And I do remember saying on one of these episodes that they should do this, and I am so happy to see that they're doing this, and you get like a dungeon maker. And I think the Zelda producer runner was saying that if people really like this and take to it, that they'll keep this in mind going forward, that they might do
a super Zelda maker.
Yeah, a super Zelda maker, which would be awesome. I would love that.
So let's talk about Doom Eternal. TJ, you're the person who's into the Young Bloods, you know, the Wolfenstein Young Bloods and the Doom Eternals. Let's talk about those games from Bethesda. Because here's the thing, one thing before we discuss it, what they did not announce was even more shocking. They did not announced Elder Scrolls 6, and they showed nothing of Starfield.
Yeah, Bethesda, that was a really sad showing. That was like somebody on their knees begging not to hate them anymore, that they're sorry.
Well, no, that was because of Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Well, they're
giving away free content. So it was like them, to me, sounded like to them begging for forgiveness, you know, whether you believe them or not is a different thing.
Maybe they didn't have anything to show from either of those games.
I'm sure they don't.
But they didn't even, did they formally announce Elder Scrolls 6 last year?
Yeah, they showed a screenshot.
All they did was show a logo for Starfield. And I'm more interested in seeing what Starfield is going to be like. I am just hoping it's not another Elder Scrolls Fallout style game. I'd like it to be its own thing. Because here's the thing, you know, Elder Scrolls but in space doesn't really appeal to me. I want something different. I mean, well, I guess that's what The Outer Worlds is going to be.
Go ahead.
The Outer Worlds and Cyberpunk, well, no, not maybe not Cyberpunk, but Outer Worlds feels like what Starfield would be, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be a first-person game, I'm sure, because that's been their thing, unless they go dramatically different and do third-person or isometric or, I don't know, something else, maybe even just like a spaceship simulator game or something. But it's probably a first-person game with laser guns and...
I'd like to see a true Star Trek-type game in which you have... where everything is about maintaining the starship and doing missions that don't always involve shooting things.
Well, there was
a Star Trek game. There was Star Trek 25th Anniversary, but I'd like to see something better.
I think there was Final Unity. Was a point-and-click. That was a pretty good one.
But I mean a first-person sort of thing.
Right. They could. I don't know if they will, but they definitely could do that.
But the problem is that there's so much legal bullshit going on with the Kelvin universe. And you want to hear something interesting? Things that are supposedly in the original universe aren't, even if they look like it. Like Spock from the Kelvin universe, you know, the old Spock, he wasn't from the old universe. He was from a different universe that has nothing to do with because CBS still owns that.
You can create your own sci-fi universe. You don't have to use Klingons. You can use Borlon. You know.
I'm just salty because it looks like Picard. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with Picard. You know what my idea for Picard would be? I would have him as now the dean, the president of Starfleet Academy, and just dealing with a bunch of cadets and what they're going through. Just dealing with young cadets instead of having to do the same old shit in outer space. Let's talk about Doom Eternal and Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Oh yeah.
TJ, what were you going to say about it?
Sorry.
This time around, the main thing that they showed us... I was actually kind of even disappointed with what they showed for Doom Eternal. This time around, they mostly just showed us a new multiplayer mode, which is going to be the Demons versus the Doom Slayer thing. Which they've done that before. There was a multiplayer mode in Doom 2016 where you could, if you killed enough people, you could turn into a demon. And go on a rampage. So this is going to be just like a sort of lopsided, just straight up mode where two players take on two demons and one player takes on a Doom Slayer and you just go head to head. Which I don't know if I care that much. Like, to be honest, the multiplayer aspect that they were showing last year, they showed off an invasion mechanic in which you can invade somebody else's single player game as a demon. Yeah, I mean that also sounded way more interesting to me because it's Doom. Like, how do you pull that off? How does it work? I want to know more.
People have talked about crossplay a lot. I don't mean crossplay as in cross-platform play. I mean crossplay as in someone's playing a single-player game, but there's a multiplayer element in which someone can actually interact with you. You know, Dark Souls has done that a lot.
That's a major aspect.
Do you want to talk about Sony not being at E3?
Oh no! Well, before we go on, I was like, I want to know. I want Doom to show more about that invasion mechanic than I do. Their Doom Slayer thing. Like, it seems like they were trying to go sort of towards Unreal with it, but like, I don't think they do Unreal Tournament as well as Epic does.
So we didn't see anything of Death Stranding because Sony wasn't there. Did get a release date. I'm trying to care about Death Stranding.
I'm trying. It's not that hard.
TJ, I can't.
Actually, I'm interested in Death Stranding after the last trailer.
That was in E3 2016, damn it!
No, the last trailer was a month ago.
Oh.
It wasn't that long ago. And the last trailer that they put out was actually, like, it explained a lot of new stuff. And we got a look at the gameplay, finally. So, putting all the trailers that have come out so far together, it's starting to come together in a way that is actually interesting to me now.
Yeah, but do you actually care? It might be interesting, but do you care?
Yeah.
I think if it's interesting, that means you care.
No, I mean, I find Showgirls interesting, but I don't really care about it.
So when I saw the trailer for Death Stranding, it was a lot of cinematic stuff, as Hideo Kojima is rife to do. He fills his games with lots of cinematics. But that said, we got to look at a lot of the characters finally.
Oh wait, actually, wrong. There is something I care about Death Stranding. I want to see what kind of batshit crazy idiotic stuff that Kojima is going to write this time.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good stuff.
Good stuff as in Showgirls good, right?
Is Death Stranding, is that the one with that dude from Walking Dead carrying a baby fetus?
No, that was the other game that was released and everybody hated.
Okay.
Nope, that's this one. That's Norman.
Okay, well, there was the other zombie game with the scruffy dude that everybody hated that was released.
I guess you might be thinking of Silent Hills because Norman Reedus was...
No. We're talking about the one the game that was actually released.
So, in case you forgot, Death Stranding kind of came out of the ashes of Silent Hills where Guillermo del Toro and Norman Reedus were on deck for that.
Which spawned, by the way, everybody's favorite demo, PT. Which, by the way, everybody's imitated. I have never seen an unreleased game be imitated so much.
Well, where we're at with Death Stranding is that Norman Reedus is also the protagonist of that game, as well as Guillermo del Toro's in it, and Mads Mikkelsen is in it, which their characters look awesome. For the game itself, it reminds me of like a sci-fi Witcher 3, which I am at the very least super interested
in. You mean like Cyberpunk 2077?
No, it's third person.
Well, that's a The Witcher 3, isn't it?
Not quite, because Cyberpunk 2077 is first person and takes place in the middle of a city.
Oh, big whoop. They just released a patch to make Mass Effect 2 first person.
Sure, but like when I'm talking about Death Stranding, it's still third person, and like you're kind of you're traveling across the environment, like in a big environment.
I want to hear the conspiracy theories that Kojima comes up with next.
All I'm saying is that it has, when I was watching like the combat and the exploration, it hit me with very big Witcher 3 vibes as far as just like traveling across the land and trying to like do what you can with the tools at your disposal.
Okay.
But they were sci-fi tools.
I think the difference, another difference between this Death Stranding and Cyberpunk 2077 is that Cyberpunk, seem to be a mercenary out just to get money and just... Death Stranding guy seems to be on a mission. I don't know if it's good, but it seems like he's trying to do good.
I implore you guys to watch the last trailer. It's a little long. But
it's Kojima. There's just so much.
No, you said that the last trailer you saw was in 2016. I'm talking about the one that just came out.
It's Guillermo del Toro. That's a double whammy right there, by the way.
Guillermo del Toro, the guy behind Pan's Labyrinth. Oh my God,
that was an awesome movie.
I don't care about Pan's Labyrinth.
You have no soul.
Look, I preferred Invasion of the Fish Fuckers to the Shape of Water.
Really?
Anyways, let's talk about Nintendo again. People lost their shit that Animal Crossing New Horizons is delayed to 2020, and I'm just like, why are you so upset?
I'm happy.
Yeah,
a lot of people. But at the same time, the reason they're doing it is to avoid crunch, which is admirable,
and to make a better quality game. I mean, you get both things that way, I think.
Well,
and
let's not forget they also have another game coming out in the holiday, a little game we like to call Luigi's Mansion 3.
That looks cool, too. I definitely want to get that. There are so many games on Nintendo Switch coming out that I was just like, Nintendo's taking all my money from this E3.
Do you care about Pokemon Sword and Shield?
I kind of do, actually. Kind of do.
I got to play Link's Awakening remake, and I got to play Pokemon Sword and Shield when I was at E3. And quick aside about Pokemon Sword and Shield, you know, they just announced the Dynamax mechanic in which you can turn your Pokemon into, lack of better terms, kaiju. You can turn them into basically giant monsters and have them fight each other as giants. Fun fact about that from the demo that we played. When your Pokemon faints, they don't just, like, fall down and turn back into a normal Pokemon. Oh, no, they fucking explode.
Wow.
I mean, like, violently explode with fire and smoke, and I'm just standing there staring at this like, oh, my God. How are you going to explain that to your kid when their best friend just blows up because they didn't pick the right actions?
Like, they're blow up dead, or they just – that's the reaction to becoming small. I don't –
You ever see the movie Scanners? No, I'm kidding.
No.
They burst and fire and smoke, and then they're and then you pull them back into the Pokeball.
See, but they're still alive.
That does sound nightmarish. These poor Pokemon.
Well, let me ask you a question there, Scott. Who are you more jealous of then? Him for being able to play Lynx, or me being able to play Dragon's Quest XI?
The TJ playing Link.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta say,
I did send you that friggin' gift, though, from Dragon Quest XI, didn't I?
I know, I have it. I have the shirt. It's awesome.
You showed off to your friends, say, check this out.
Link's Awakening Remake was fucking adorable. And, like, it hit so many of the familiar paths. Like, I was watching one of my colleagues play it, and it was, like, the first part of the game. Like, the sword is on the beach. You use the shield to move the spikies around. You go to a witch and you bring her a toadstool to make some powder so you can defeat an asshole raccoon. By the way, that raccoon is adorable and I want to.
I know you want a plushie of it.
No, guess what? They have plushies out already, so you don't have nothing to worry about. By the way, that's sad. By the way, Think Inc. is closing. And
oh, that is terrible. I'm so pissed at GameStop.
And they're going to remain all their stuff at GameStop.
It's like, forget. GameStop.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be another nerd culture store popping up. I mean,
That I have no problem with. We'll find a different place to get this stuff, but I'm just not getting it at GameStop, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, ThinkGeek, though, you know, did that extra mile. Of course, they had this thing in which they would do an April Fool's joke, and if enough people liked it, they'd say, "Ha, guess what? It's real!"
Yeah. I don't know. I just think ThinkGeek was cool, and it just seems really shitty that GameStop is buying it just to dissolve it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were already part of GameStop. I mean, they're in every GameStop store. Anyways, let's talk about a game that appeared in the Microsoft conference, which I thought was the best trailer of any of the games that I saw at E3, and that's the one for 12 minutes.
Oh, yes.
That I want to play just to see what it's all about. For those who don't know, 12 minutes is a top-down game in which you're stuck in a 12-minute loop, and each time you have to change something about it. Now, it looks like it goes forward in time. Like, it isn't the same 12 minutes, you know, like 12 to 12 to 12. It looks like it's like 12 to 12, 12, 12:05, you know, something like that. I mean, time does move forward, but you're stuck in a loop that you're trying to break. And the thing that struck me about it was that it looks so intelligently written.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out how to stop this cop from killing you and your wife.
Yeah.
And you got to figure it out. And if you lose, you go right back to the beginning, it looks like. And then you have to try again.
By the way,
and it's like real time 12 minutes too.
By the way, you know who made the game? Luis Antonio, and you might not know his name, but he was the artist from The Witness, you know, Jonathan Blow's puzzle game. So that's why it looks so interesting. Because that was the best part of The Witness, by the way. The look of the island, you know, and the geography. So the guy who made that is doing this game.
And it's also from Annapurna. Is it from Annapurna Interactive? It is.
Yes,
from
that's why it's getting made up again, because Annapurna has a. But you know, that reminds me about stores. One of the biggest news that hit that not a lot of people are talking about, and I know that Scott's eyebrows probably went mile high when he first heard it, that Microsoft and Good Old Games are teaming up together so that everything you get with the Microsoft Store and everything you get with the Galaxy 2, you can run from. So if you buy something from Microsoft, they can put it in. You can put it in your store window or you can do the reverse. So that way, you don't have to deal with 500 stores like, oh, here's my Steam, here's my Epic, here's my Microsoft, here's my GOG.
Right.
No, if you just want to condense both of them together, that's fine with them.
That is really impressive, and that's probably what I was talking about earlier, just that Microsoft being so cooperative with their IPs, and then you could get, like, it would be great to be able to have your EA games, your Epic games, your Uplay, your Ubisoft, or Origin, that's one. You get all of that on Google or Galaxy 2 and just have it all on one platform. You know,
Here's the thing. You're still buying it from a specific store, but now you can just have one storefront to look at.
Right.
You can buy it from other stores and put it in that store, that launcher, so that you don't have to worry about having a billion launchers open.
That's why I feel like supporting Galaxy 2 more, because I feel like they're playing nice, I guess, so to speak, and now it's getting them. You if you buy games through Microsoft, you can also have them launch on your Galaxy 2. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how many more platforms Galaxy 2 will be able to do. See if they can really do all of them.
How about you, TJ? Hey, what do you think
about
Galaxy 2 and Microsoft merging together?
I don't really care. I don't use any. I don't use any of that stuff right now.
He's
so
not a PC gamer. He doesn't care.
It just doesn't affect me right now. So like, I don't have too much of an opinion. I guess more accessibility is always a good thing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So that's good. But right now, it's just not in my it's not in my sphere. So I don't have.
It's more that I'm just really impressed with being less competitive and more cooperative, these corporations, because I'm just so used to it. You know, jabbing at each other. Oh, you know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. You know,
I don't like that. That's fun. That's just when you have exclusivity.
It's annoying to me.
You know, when you have third-party exclusivity, that bothers me a little bit. I mean, you have to have first-party stuff because that's what you do. You know, you're not going to have The Legend of Zelda on what's it called Breath of the Wild on the Xbox One. Although I should amend that by saying, well, you do have Cuphead on the Nintendo Switch, and you do have Ori and the Blind Forest. Oh, let's talk about the other Ori game that's coming out. And everybody went nuts about that. I mean, Ori must be a total kick-ass game, because people really love that series.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's maybe the best Metroidvania that has come out in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful soundtrack. That's like, I would say a good 45 to 65% of why it's so fucking good.
Wait, Scott, did you ever complete Ori and the Blind Forest?
No, I have not. I got stuck. That's the problem with platformers, is if you get stuck in one spot, you're kind of screwed until you pass that spot.
Oh, it was Psychonauts. So. But yeah, it's because I didn't want to spoil the ending for you, so I'll just have to keep my trap shut for now. So did you see the trailer for Ori and what's the next one called? Ori and the not the name of it all of a sudden. The new Ori game.
I think I must have missed it, although would that have been Microsoft?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, but it's Xbox. Okay. I don't know. I must have missed it.
Bet it's gonna be on Switch at some point, because if you're gonna put Ori and the Forest on Switch, you might as well, you know, get. Oh, wait,
sure
that reminds me. One game that I found myself really attracted to. I don't know how Scott feels about it, but the game that I really said, this is looks kind of cool, was Minecraft Dungeons, which is basically Minecraft does Diablo.
Yes. That looks awesome. And I definitely want to play that with friends if I can find any. And
if you can find any. Well, here's one thing. Even though it's not Minecraft, it's Minecraft Dungeons. Microsoft is still releasing it for everybody because Mojang says we're every platform. And that said, I wonder if there's going to be cross-platform play.
That would be cool. I think that would be very doable because it wouldn't matter if you're using a controller or a mouse.
Unless you have someone griping and having Sony say, no, we're not going to have a Microsoft game in our system.
That's the two companies that disappointed me the most at E3. Sony for not showing up and Bethesda. Those two disappointed me the most.
Why did Bethesda disappoint you?
It just seemed, like I said, like they're begging for forgiveness. It just seemed sad. And, everybody hated Commander Keen.
That's the biggest disappointment. They did a Commander Keen game, but I want an actual Commander Keen game. I want a remastered platformer, not what they're showing there, which is just a cel-shaded cutesy blech. I don't like that, Commander Keen. Give me Goodbye Galaxy.
I will say that for Bethesda and Bethesda's defense.
Well, I was about to ask you, TJ, what did you think about Wolfenstein Youngblood then? In following that friggin' series.
I have the same opinion I've always had about it, is that I'm probably going to follow along with it, but I haven't dove deep into what it's going to be.
Okay.
That said, in Bethesda's defense, I will say that Akumi Nakamura, Ghostwire.
That does look awesome. You're right. That's a good point. That one looked very good, very creative, interesting, and different.
And it was really rad of a legend like Shinji Mikami, who he created Resident Evil, to sort of just give her the spotlight. And she was so fucking bubbly and perfect.
Yeah, everybody loved her. That's true.
Ghostwire is going to be fun. Evil Within 2 was really good. And Tango Gameworks is doing a good job with their horror games.
By the way, it's actually Ghostwire Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me wonder, is there going to be a Ghostwire New York and a Ghostwire Toronto and a Ghostwire...
So
I'm not sure, because I think they're doing it because they're, from Japan, so they're kind of doing it theirs. What they relate to, or I'm not saying this right.
Here's the problem I have with Shinji Mikami. He is batshit insane when it comes to games.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He doesn't do subtle. He did Godhead. He did Resident Evil 4. He did all these games. Just don't expect scary with Tokyo Ghostwire Tokyo. Expect batshit crazy, which is fine.
I'll argue against that. That the Evil Within was actually the Evil Within 2 was very, very good, and it had one of the most chilling antagonists.
Evil Within was actually Resident Evil 4 in disguise.
I'm talking about Evil Within 2. Evil Within 1 was okay. Evil Within 2 was fucking great.
People complained Evil Within wasn't much of a survival horror game. As a matter of fact, the only survival horror was in the first level.
They introduced a good antagonist in Evil Within 2, with this guy that's a photographer that can basically freeze you in place while he kills you with a knife. That's terrifying. That guy was fucking terrifying.
Is it going to be in the same universe as Evil Within 2?
Now, here's the thing. Ghostwire Tokyo is called Ghostwire Tokyo because Ghostwire is already an established franchise that has been on the 3DS in Japan. So there have been other Ghostwire games already. This is the first time that Tango Gameworks and Shinji Mikami have taken a shot at this series. That said, I'm interested. I'm interested to see what they do with it. It's always been sort of a suspense mystery solving game, and I'm interested to see what Shinji Mikami's take on that is.
Yeah, it does look very interesting. Was that the one? I don't know if I'm mixing it up, but was that the one where there's this strange lady with a mask on, she was killing samurai, or is that a different game?
I do believe that was a different game, although okay. I might be wrong.
I think that is a different game, I'm sorry. I did see the Ghostwire, I'm just trying to keep things straight in my head, because I do remember it being mysterious and, yeah, like Silent Hill, you're trying to solve a mystery. And I think it was about the mythology or lore, you know, like there's cultural things in there, yeah. Not just like, oh, here's some ghosts, you know, with funny heads. It's like, no, this is, you know, like if you looked up, like this might be a, God, I don't want to say any wrong names, but, you know, just like an actual Japanese spirit ghost, you know, that you could look up and read about and be like, oh, wow, that's neat, you know, and not just like, oh, I'm going to make a ghost with a pyramid head and it's because he, you know, he's horny or something, you know, just, you know, from that was from Resident Evil. So I don't imagine them jumping to another city unless there's a really good push for it, you know, like somebody, I don't know, in I don't know. But so I think this is standalone for now, but I think we should just see how good this is and, you know, go from there.
So do you want to talk about Gods and Monsters?
Gods and Monsters.
Okay, so Gods and Monsters is from the people who did Assassin's Creed, and basically it's Breath of the Wild except in Homeric Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes place in a real setting instead of the Hyrule.
Right. They didn't show much about it, but like it was part of the Ubisoft conference.
Okay, that's why I missed that one. I see it's on PlayStation 4, Xbox, Switch, Windows. But yeah, if it's just a cinematic reveal,
it's Breath of the Wild, except it's in real locations and dealing with Greek myths. So it's not realism in that way. I mean, you're gonna be dealing with Greek gods and Greek mythology, but it's based in Greece.
That does sound really good. I actually would like that. That actually kind of sounds almost like a Kid Icarus game.
And the reason why people are comparing it to Breath of the Wild is that it was very it was very bright, it was very colorful, it was very whimsical. It looks like it's gonna be full of life.
That's good.
I'm interested, but I need to see a lot more. They really didn't show much about it.
It's a wait and see sort of thing. But you know, here's the thing. You know, not everybody's gonna be able to play Breath of the Wild, so why not have a sort of clone? Which has the unique twist in that it's taking place in Greece instead of Hyrule. Speaking of the Ubisoft conference, DJ, what did you think of Watch Dogs Legion?
I think that it looks way more interesting than Watch Dogs 2 or Watch Dogs 1. The idea that you can play as any NPC was always interesting to me, but like I'm actually curious how far they go with this, like how many of these characters.
It takes place in post Brexit London.
Yeah.
And oh, jeez. Like,
I do wonder how many of these characters are like voiced, how many of them actually have like backstory to them, or if it's just kind of like there are some that are central, and then everybody else that you can play as is just kind of be like sort of a surface level character.
You see, the problem is that we saw what happened with the hype with Watch Dogs 1. And it's sort of like, you know, once bitten, twice shy. So I'm going to not even consider Watch Dogs Legion until it's actually out.
I know a lot of people who liked Watch Dogs 2. It wasn't my jam. Watch Dogs Legion looks better than the first and second one in a lot of ways. If only for the amount of things you can do, depending on the character that you can play as. Because, like, if you didn't see it, Scott, each character that you basically can swap between any NPC and recruit them to this, like, group of hackers.
Yeah.
And some of them are, like, some of them are brawlers. Some of them are, like, assassins that are good with guns. And some of them are old ladies that know how to control technology.
And Lord knows, you want to play an open-world game playing as an old lady.
Okay.
Let's talk about Boyfriend like Dungeon, which is a cross between a dating simulator and a dungeon crawler. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Okay, let's return to the topic of Watch Dogs Legion. I mean, the game looks good, but then again, so did Watch Dogs. Like I said, it's a wait-and-see sort of thing.
Yeah. At the very least, it looks good for just, like, the amount of archetypes of characters there are that you can play as. Like, one character is good at, like, hacking, and another character is a good brawler, and another character is good with guns. So it really just depends on who you need for any given mission.
I do like characters having personality like that, where they are a type, a role type, and it just makes them feel like individuals. So I do like that concept. at least.
I will say this. Ubisoft had maybe my most interesting game that I want to play.
John Wick Hacks.
And that is, oh, no. It's a Roller Champions.
Rugby Roller Champion?
Roller Champions.
Roller Champions. Oh, yeah. So that's their roller derby game. There wasn't much said about it, but basically, if you can – see, the way roller derby works is that you're trying to knock out the other players so that you can give your players a lead. So, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be really campy, too, which you have to do with any roller derby game, I guess.
They tried – it seems like they were trying to go with that sort of Overwatch-style charm with it. That said, like, when it was in action, it kind of had a lot of Rocket League vibes to it. There's a lot of, like, color trails on characters as they're rolling around the track. It also seems interesting just as the way that the game plays out, because, like, basically you get your hands on this ball, you have to take it around the court so many times, like, and you amass points, and then you have to score those points by throwing it into a ring that's, like, hanging up on the side of the court. So, like, there's a sort of risk versus reward nature to it, where if you go around the ring one time, you get 1 point, if you go around the ring 2 times, you get 3 points, and if you go around 3 times, you get 5 points. And that's assuming that nobody knocks your ass out and takes the ball from you.
So, by the way, I wasn't kidding about the new John Wick game. It's John Wick Hex, which is a turn-based XCOM-style game starring Keanu Reeves as John Wick. It'll be interesting to see how that... it used to be just a turn-based tactical game like XCOM, I mean completely, until the director of the John Wick game said, why is he just standing around while people shoot at him? So they had to make it so that he's not standing around while people shoot at him, you know? So
yeah, originally it was supposed to be just like, you know, they've done Hitman Go and Tomb Raider Go at this point. It was going to be like John Wick Go. Yeah.
Oh, there's a Harry Potter Go coming now.
But yeah, if you're going to have a John Wick game, he needs to like kung fu his way around him and be like...
One of the games that was, that wasn't really mentioned was Telling Lies, which is basically the sequel to Her Story. Except instead of one person, now you're interviewing 4 people.
And you're like reviewing video evidence and trying to find the liars. That looks like very... the kind of dark game, creepy and dark. You're watching all these videos and it's like you're getting into these people's lives and it's just very voyeurism. It's just,
which makes me chuckle,
creepy.
Because remember back in the mid to late 90s when the CD full motion video games were all the rage?
Yeah, I remember that.
And now they're taking that ancient format and turning it into something interesting.
You know, I thought Sierra did some good FMV games.
Yeah, I mean, Phantasmagoria and stuff. I'm talking about the full motion video games that are more like, I know you know which games I'm thinking of right now, Night Trap and stuff like that. But they're taking that and turning it into something artistic, you know.
Right.
And they don't even need the CD because, you know, you can do crappy looking videos with very little, you know. Just deliberately make a 240p or 120p, you know, and make it look all wobbly and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm glad to see that the same people who did Her Story is doing this because, you know, it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You want to talk about Skatebird?
Well, I mean, I talked about what my favorite thing out of the E3 so far.
Well,
first, Champions
before we go, move on. Skatebird is a skateboarding game which you play a pigeon who skateboards. If that isn't random enough for you, I don't know what is. So you're about to say, TJ?
I was just going to say, like, Roller Champions was probably my favorite thing I saw. Oh, that and Astral Chain. They showed new Astral Chain stuff, and I am so into it. Platinum Games, new game. It's Sentai fighting, monster fighting Sentai cops. And I am 100%, 1,000% all in.
Well, let me ask you a question. What about the news about the Dead or Alive crossover that was announced?
I don't even care.
It's King of Fighters. You don't care about King of Fighters?
I don't care about Dead or Alive. I never have.
Actually, it's actually King of... Actually, I got it reversed. I think it's Dead or Alive characters in King of Fighters 14, or is it the other way around? I'm getting confused now.
It's going to be
King of Fighters. It's Dead or Alive 6 has the King of Fighting 14 characters.
Yeah, it's Kua and Mai Shirunai, which of course it is Mai Shirunai because so of course she's in Dead or Alive. So of course they chose her for Dead or Alive 6.
And Kula Diamond.
But
how about Ghostface in coming to Dead by Daylight?
That's interesting. But I also would just rather have. Actually, speaking of which, why is there a Blair Witch game coming out?
When I saw the trailer for a moment, I got my hopes up, thinking it was a new Alan Wake game.
You know, it is a bit random. We have some of these very old movie things coming to video games, like the Dark Crystal's Tactics. You know, I mean, it's a little bit random.
Yeah.
Well, I know why. The reason why the Dark Crystal game is coming is because
Disney
they're doing
that.
It's because they're doing a new Dark Crystal series on Netflix. And I'm willing to bet money that that game will launch around the same time as the series.
So what did you think of the new Outer Worlds trailer?
I'm completely into Outer Worlds. I haven't had a chance to, like, dig. I liked the trailer. I want to play it so badly. I don't know. But I want to play it.
Scott, did you see the Spiritfarer trailer?
Spiritfarer?
That's the one in which
not...
you play this woman who helps animals die. She's a psychopath, the trailer showed a deer going to heaven, going into the light. You didn't see that trailer? It was from the PC.
There was more to it than that. You build a ship.
Yeah,
and,
but you help them. But you help animals die.
It was at the Xbox One. I don't recall this
one. You have to build relationships with these animals.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I guess I didn't realize it's what you were doing,
helping them die. It's about
okay.
them die.
Wow. Well, that's definitely creative and interesting.
I mean, you know, the funny thing is that it's less on the tearjerker side and more on the heartwarming side. You know, I mean, it sounds grim. you're basically Charon on the River of Styx for these animals, and you're helping them die. But it's more like you're building a relationship with them and learning about them, and then when it's their time to go, you help them go. So
yeah. It does remind me a little bit of the Blackwell Chronicles, where you're helping spirits move on to the next world, and I hope this is a cathartic game for someone to, you know, go through this. And
I can tell you right now, it's going to be a double package with that deer game. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah.
Which was adorable. For those, you know, the deer game in which it's a mother deer and her baby, and they're going through, you know, it looks like a post-apocalyptic, it's called Way of the Woods. It looks like a post-apocalyptic world where everybody's either gone to the rapture, everybody's gone, you know, and they're just going through a mall. They're going into a subway station. They're just going, and there's not a single person to be seen, just the leftovers.
Yeah, it does kind of seem that way. You're very isolated. There's nothing around there, just this big boat thing. So, yeah, that seems like kind of grim.
I'm into it, though. It's cute. It's really cute. And it makes me think of a little bit of Chucklefish's first game, Starbound.
Okay.
Which it makes me think of like a nautical...
You know what
Starbound
it actually reminds me of? Do you remember that do you remember that Japanese game when you played a little dog and you're going through Tokyo and there's just nothing but animals there? Do you remember that game?
Sort of.
It reminds me of that game. So anyways, I'm going to talk about my favorite game, the game that I am endlessly waiting for, which I cannot wait to come out. I'm pretty sure everybody has one game that, you know, they're just looking forward to. And mine is, obviously, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. I've gone through every trailer, every little thing. I just can't friggin' wait. What do you think of Bloodlines 2, TJ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I've never
I was never on the boat with the Vampire the Masquerade series, so like I don't know what the idea of all of it is cool.
Did you ever play Bloodline, the first Bloodlines?
Nope.
Well, here's the thing: if you do play it on God mode, because the combat fucking sucks. It is awful. No matter what build you have, but here's the thing: the story is so good that John DiMaggio steals the show entirely. Which, of course, it's John DiMaggio.
That seems like a game that I need to wait and see more of
Bloodlines, the original Bloodlines, it's available on Steam and GOG.
Well, I meant the new one coming out now.
The sequel takes place 15 years after the original. And instead of being in L.A. or in Seattle, which is where the developers are. But I'm saying right now, you really should play Bloodlines original. Just play it on God mode so you don't have the irritation of. And there's only 5 clans. In the original game, you had all the clans, and some of them really changed your gameplay. Like, if you played as a Nosferatu, you could not be seen. Because if you were seen, it was a masquerade violation. So you had to stay in the sewers. You had to use obfuscate sometimes, which made you invisible. You couldn't be seen in public. Because you looked like Nosferatu from, Nosferatu. You look like Orlok. Count Orlok. The writing was it was great, though. I mean, the first moment that you're speaking to Smiling Jack, played by John DiMaggio, you knew you were in for a treat.
As far as I'm concerned, if the new Bloodlines game is any good, it'll explain the first one in 15 minutes or less.
I guess. You'll be missing so much. You'll be missing
so much. Well, I mean, Bloodlines is already so big of a world already, has tons of lore and background.
And the first Bloodlines tries to cram in as much as possible. They have the Quajin, they have the Galopters, they have, every little bit from the World of Darkness that you could possibly squeeze into that game, which involves vampires. You even have a lupine, a werewolf. And for those who don't know in that universe, werewolves despise vampires. It's kill on sight. Werewolves in the World of Darkness, they're not fucking around. They are huge. They are not like the movie werewolves in which you could picture, a normal human. No. These things are big, hulking beasts. They're like 9 feet tall and muscular that you cannot fight it. The only way you can kill it in the first Bloodlines is to trick it into dying. Otherwise, it's basically waiting 4 minutes the tram to come up and escape, because otherwise you can't hurt it, you can't escape it, you just have to run around the observatory until that timer goes out. Or you can trick it into dying by crushing its head in the door that opens up for the telescope. Like I said, it's one of those special games that just has really shit combat. It's the only game I'll ever say, yeah, play in God, because otherwise you're not going to enjoy yourself. Even on God, though, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of it is branching story, which is why it's so good. Even if you don't worry about combat, if you don't know how to make the right decisions and say the right things, things can go horribly wrong anyway.
See, that's fun. I like choices that matter.
I mean, it's like Obsidian developed it, except it wasn't. It was Troika. And Troika, thanks to – the one thing about this game was that it got absolutely fucked over by Valve. They did not allow them to release it until Half-Life 2 was released, because it was using the Source engine. And the game was released unfinished, and it wasn't their fault. The developers stayed around as long as possible trying to patch the game. And there's a lot of fan patches which improve the game as well. It's like Knights of the Old Republic 2, basically. But the game is so strong that even with its problems, it is just so fun to play. And there's so many – and playing as each of the types of vampires you can be changes the game either in big ways or subtle ways. So I'm just saying, yeah, it's one of those games you have to play before you die. So anyways, Bloodlines 2, that's my most look forward. That's the game I can't wait to come out. And I think Scott already gave the game away with Breath of the Wild 2.
Well, there's quite a few. Like I said, I can't wait for Link's Awakening that's coming.
Yeah, it's coming this holiday, though.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be too bad. Panzer Dragoon, which you get to fly around as a dragon.
Panzer Dragoon Remaster is coming out.
So that's going to be fun. let's see, Trials of Mana, I'm certainly interested for.
How about
Baldur's Gate 3. That's what I should have been saying. Baldur's Gate 3 is the one that I can't wait for.
Yeah, that's the one that was just announced.
Yes, it was just announced. We have just a trailer, and so we don't really have realized gameplay yet. We just have, I guess, what they've hinted that they're going to do, and we just have to wait and see how they execute it. But I am excited. I think Larian has done good games, and
yeah, we should mention. We forgot to mention who's developing it. Well, guess what? It's not Beamdog. Beamdog only has the right to do remasters of the original games. So Larian, that is Divinity Origin 2, you know, the entire Divinity series is doing it. And in terms of, they're very Obsidian-like in the way they make RPGs, in that they love to make, you make choices, they actually do shit.
Yeah, and they have said that they're going to base the majority of the gameplay off of 5e rule set, but he did hint that he's going to use some of the environmental mechanics that I believe were in Divinity. You know, you can see a chair and light on fire and do something with it or whatever, so it'll be something along the lines of that.
It just makes me wonder what the story's going to be about. I mean, there was Baldur's Gate 3 The Black Hound, which was never made.
Right, and we're not seeing any of that story. Whatever that story is, has been
consigned to oblivion. No, that story was actually used in a different game. They used part of the story from Black Hound in their next game. So, you know, that was, you know, that's not going to happen.
I'm also fucking thrilled, by the way, that they're making a remake of Secret of Mana 3.
I can't wait for that.
That was a shocker, and that is so dope. Because the only way to play that game in the United States before was through ROMs. Yep. And the old translation, I don't feel like it was that good. Like the translation of the narrative wasn't all that great.
And it wasn't an official localization either. I mean, it was a fan made thing.
Right.
Bootleg fan thing, whatever.
I can guess what game TJ's not looking forward to. The new Super Lucky's Tale, apparently there's one coming out.
Yeah, Tunic hasn't come out yet either. I thought it would be out by now.
I don't know what's going on with that. I think it's coming out, or they're trying to make it come out in 2020. I guess we'll just wait and see.
Duke Tunic maybe. Forever.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Was there anything on the floor that interested you that really didn't get a lot of attention?
Yes, I had actually, my game of show came from the floor, which was Scavengers.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be they showed it briefly at the Game Awards last year. It's got a very Lost Planet vibe to it. But basically,
they finally showed some gameplay. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Scavengers didn't debut at E3, but there was almost nothing that we knew about it except who was developing it.
Right. I played it at E3. And it was easily, one of the most interesting things I've ever seen.
So you never played The Long Dark, did you? The Long Dark, did you?
No.
What I like is that it's going to be the most interesting co-op game. Because it's co-op competitive, basically.
Yeah, it's PvPvE. And the idea behind it is that basically the moon was hit by an asteroid, and that asteroid careened off the moon and hit the Earth and released some viruses. And also the dust from the moon created a perpetual winter. So the remnants of humanity are basically stranded on this colony that's run by sort of a malicious AI known as Mother. And Mother wants you to go down. And Mother wants you to go down to the planet and collect some virus samples. So, in a match, four teams respond, and your teams of three, and each team, and each player picks up one of eight classes that have a special ability, a dome shield or being able to cloak themselves, and they can also craft a specific weapon for themselves. And you go down to the planet, you try to collect
You're making it sound like it's just a competitive arena thing. No, there's a lot of co-op that goes on.
Do it. I'm getting to it, man. Let me get to it.
Okay.
So basically, you go down to the planet as a team of three, and there are three other teams that go down to the planet with you. And you go around, you have nothing, you go around, you loot areas, you attack bandit camps, you fight wildlife, and you try to get to these virus zones where you collect samples of the virus and try to get out on a dropship that it will eventually show up with as much of the virus as you can carry. And in between like that, the start and the finish, you have to like craft weapons. You have to craft you have to get like food and cook it so that you don't lose health from like not eating. You can cooperate with other teams, or you can ambush them and take their virus samples.
By the way, you also have to mention that the game actually boasts a dynamic weather system, so it's actually procedurally generated the weather, which can become quite brutal, obviously, in a permanent winter setting.
Item that will give you heat, and there are storms that will like come down on you and ruin you if you're not careful.
The storms aren't a complete surprise, because you will notice the weather starting to change, and it'll be sort of like a warning. It isn't very obvious. You say, oh wait, these clouds are getting a little darker and they're getting a little faster, we better get our shit in gear because there's probably gonna be a storm coming maybe.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, There were a lot of interesting factors to that game. It's like I haven't seen too many things like that before.
Or at least not.
Yes, I did play it. And like, to give you an idea of how it played out, like me and my team attacked a bandit camp. Then we attacked a virus site and we made our weapons and stuff. Then we tried to go after a stronger bandit camp. We almost got caught in a storm and we just like barely outran it. And then when we went after the stronger bandit camp with better weapons, we had two other teams show up at that same place, and we got kind of caught in the middle of it. They fought each other and the bandits and us, and it was just like a chaotic fracas. And then one of the teams just like straight up ran away with our virus samples. We ended up getting killed. But like, there's all sorts of crazy things that can happen when you have like this human and AI and sort of randomized AI element in play.
People are going to start having spies, you know, and stuff like that to track other teams' movements and see if they're going to fight each other and just wait for them to wipe each other out before, you know, coming down on them yourself. That's sort of tactical, the sort of thing.
Yeah. So two other things. They're about to start doing alpha and beta releases this year. They're also going to be going for a free-to-play release in 2020. And that's just going to be – they say it's going to be on PC at first, but they're looking at the possibility of consoles as well.
Yeah. You know, considering the relationship Microsoft has with PC gaming right now, you can bet that Microsoft will be all in if it looks like it's going to be moving someplace. Because that's one of the main things that we have to talk about also. I have to mention this, that Microsoft announced Game Pass for PC. And the thing that really rocked my brain is that they have something called Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. With it, you get Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass for PC, all for $15. And here's the thing. If I were only to do Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass together, that would be $20. So basically, for $15, I decided, yeah, screw it, I'm going to get all three. So I got the entire package, and that's why I said I had a crap load of games, because not only was Tyranny a part of the PC Game Pass, but so was Bridge Constructor, Portal, and a bunch of other games, you know. And also, you know, that's why I was able to play The Outer Wilds on right now, and I'm enjoying that. And The Outer Wilds, I think I've discussed this back in PAX. I played it there, too. Think of it as sort of 2001 with banjos.
I like it. It's sci-fi Groundhog Day, and it's
scary. Really, the first time the sun goes nova, that is some scary shit. You know, everything goes dark, and then it just goes nova, and here's the thing. I'm not spoiling anything, because that's basically the mechanic of the game. You're trying to solve a mystery. You know, anytime you die, by the way, you wake up again in a Groundhog Day loop. But, you know, you do have a time limit for when you're alive, you know, when the sun goes nova. And here's the thing. It's good, not great. It is basically your a double A game, which is fine. You know, I don't need a huge scope game and I don't need an indie game. I like games that are in that little niche in between, not indie, not triple A. You know, mm-hmm. even though it has a sort of indie feel in terms of the feel of it, but it's definitely not an indie game. You know, I think Humble Bundle was the one Humble Bundle, did Humble Bundle release The Outer Wilds? It's Annapurna. I'm sorry. The other game that I was playing is a Humble Bundle game, and that's Bridge Constructor Portal. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I'm getting all three for half price for $15. I mean, you cannot beat that. That's basically Netflix for PC games and Xbox games, and getting gold. So you're still getting the free game from gold as well, you know. But here's the thing, you know, it's all part of, you know, on my PC, my Xbox button turned into, it now calls itself the Xbox Console Companion. So,
yeah,
it's like Microsoft is trying to blur the lines between PC and consoles right now, which, by the way, I grew up with. I mean, the Commodore 64 and the Commodore Amiga, they were consoles that just happened to be computers, too. But you could also say it for the Atari, you know, 800 and the Amiga and the GS and the, you know, and all those stuff where people were trying to make. And then, you know, at some point, IBM took over and then it was just PC, console, that's it. Never shall the twain shall meet. And now that's blurring again. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Did you actually get to try out the Atari VCS?
I didn't see. It was nowhere to be found this year.
I know they were showing it off to people at the show. And I got several emails about it. I'm still confused about what the fuck that thing is.
Yeah, I have no idea either because I didn't see it anywhere on the floor.
I mean, they're releasing a version, you know, an ultra super duper version for $400, and I'm thinking I'm not gonna spend that much on an Atari VCS if I don't know what's gonna be in it. I don't care how many controllers it comes with or how good the controllers are. I will say their special controller. Not the Atari, you know, VCS, you know, single stick, single button controller. I'm talking about their actual gamepad. Looks pretty good. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Everybody lost their shit about the Elite controller, too. What do you think about it, DJ?
It looks like the Elite controller 1. I don't know what I'm supposed to think of it.
It's improved over the Elite controller 1. Like, the rubberized grip is all over the place, and they added another level of sensitivity, and they added, what's it called, even more sensitivity to the, they're really going after the fighting game crowd as well, I can tell. And also the retro crowd, you know, cause they have the, thing you can, what's it called, the auto fire, three levels of auto fire and all this other stuff, you know. I will say it's $180 though to pre-order. That's a lot for a controller.
Yeah, that seems really overpriced.
Well, it's not like overpriced. Here's the thing. I don't think it's overpriced. I just think it's boutique. But I'm going to say a lot of people were going gaga over it. I mean, people, if you look at the message boards, everybody is getting really excited over it. And, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's USB. You can use it on your PC. You can use it on anything. USB controller. I'd laugh. Mm-hmm. Knowing Microsoft, they probably want Sony to be able to use it too. They probably went to Sony, hey, you wanna allow this controller to be used on a PS4 or PS5?
Mm-hmm.
Or hell, can you imagine if you want to go up to Nintendo, you want to be able to use this on your Switch? Hey, you know, the Switch is getting Doom Infinite and The Witcher 3 too, so you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get those games, they could probably get any game at this point.
Well, I mean, not any game. Oh, that was another thing, by the way, people were sort of disappointed in, that there was no new Switch announced, and not even a sequel. They were just wondering if there would be a new form Switch, you know. Because people do that. I mean, you have the PS, you know, whenever the PlayStation Slim comes out, or the Xbox S, you know, they're hoping maybe there would be a more compact, more sturdy version of the Nintendo Switch. But it seems like the Switch is just going to be made with some better components, but it's not going to be a new form Switch. It's just going to be Switch that doesn't break as easily as the launch version did. Which is fine. I mean, if you have people getting the Switch for the first time, you don't want them to have it bending. Or scratching like the first one did. Hey, DJ, did you tell me that you really lucked out and nothing happened to your Switch, to your launch Switch?
I take care of my stuff, so nothing has happened.
Other people did too, and they still had the problems.
Apparently not well enough.
look at TJ, the Switch snob. You haven't had any problems with yours, have you, Scott? When did you get yours? You got yours a year later, right?
Yeah, I think it was about a year later. And I have to agree with TJ. There are some people that just don't take care of their stuff.
In your case, Scott, I think you got the second batch, which wasn't, you know, which didn't have as many problems.
Right. Well,
sort of like
also
Nintendo released the new Wiimotes with a strap, so people didn't throw it into their TV.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I never threw my Wiimote into a TV ever.
Yeah, but you're not 16 years old.
I don't get this concept of I think I'm holding a baseball bat, so I'm gonna let go of my controller. It doesn't.
That's not even how you use a baseball bat.
No, exactly.
Yeah, people do lose grip of their baseball bat sometimes. Yeah.
I know.
Anyways, we're coming up on 2 hours soon, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. We didn't have a podcast last week because TJ was at E3 and I didn't want to break his flow. He said he was still trying to absorb everything from E3. So, Scott, did you actually nail down which game that you actually are looking most forward to that you saw at E3? Or you saw videos of it from E3?
I thought Baldur's Gate 3 was the one I was saying, but...
Okay, no. I mean, we were telling you rattled off a list of games, Breath of the Wild 2. What's it called? You know,
oh, okay.
So you're saying... It's Larian. Come on. It has to be Baldur's Gate 3 for you.
Yeah, it has to be Baldur's Gate 3. That's the most exciting. That'll be the top one, number one.
Yeah. And TJ, you said you brought up the new co-op competitive game, Scavengers. Is that your game of show?
Scavengers was the funnest thing I played out there. The one that I'm looking most forward to is Roller Champions.
Why are you looking forward to Roller Champions? I wonder.
Because it has all the things I like.
No, I've been waiting for
cool. Cool looking characters, Rocket League-esque effects.
Yeah,
and
it did have an Overwatch feel to it, though. The characters had a definite Overwatch feel.
Yeah, Rocket League effects, Overwatch characters, and the elbows being thrown.
Yeah, like I said,
that's all I need.
Bloodlines 2, 15 years wait. I can't wait. You know, they said, here's the thing, Paradox is having their own convention. Of course, it's going to be in Germany, so I can't attend. But apparently, you'll be able to play a build of Bloodlines 2 if you go there in October. You know, you get an early build. I don't know how to feel about that. You know, when it comes to early access, usually I just, even if I buy early access, I'm going to let it stew and wait until version 1.0. But on the other hand, I want to play Bloodlines 2 so bad. I mean, it's like Scott with D&D, you know. This is World of Darkness. I mean, we've seen D&D in video games. We seldom ever get to see World of Darkness games, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I was really looking forward to the World of Darkness MMO if it ever came out. I mean, Scott, do you play World of Darkness games? I know you know of them.
No, I haven't played them. I just never got around to them.
You know what would be a great MMO that they haven't done yet? I think there were plans to make an MMO based on its system. But can you imagine a MMO based on Traveler? I mean, it's science fiction. You know, that's something that we don't see much of in MMOs. And it's all about the experience. It's less about leveling. It's more about the experience.
Right. The journey.
Oh, God. Well, can you imagine a GURPS MMO? Then you can put it anywhere.
That's true.
Anyways, so yeah, Scavengers and roller derbies for TJ.
Roller Champions.
Let's merge both games together in which you have roller derby in a winter setting where everybody has to hunt stuff just to build the roller skates in order to play. I think I broke TJ's mind with that one. Now he's picturing a game that merges Scavengers and the roller derby game.
I like both these things, so I don't know how well they would work together, but I like them.
Yeah. Anyways, we will see you next week. You can find me at Twitter @JonahFalcon.
Find me @JohnnyChugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shard.
And yes, I know I didn't do the boilerplate. I don't care. No boilerplate this way, even though I could have said look for our show notes, blah, 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 but we're not going to. We will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
And TJ fell asleep.
I said it, didn't I?
No, did we you guys didn't hear not... you. You said nothing.
It got cut off.
Oh. Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.
And that is it. Bye-bye.